a fourth with sadness, yet more noble than all. He longed for a blessing, so on God he did call, who gave him his desire, a helping hand indeed, expansion of borders, and from all calamity freed. Found at once in the scriptures in a long royal line, so search in first order if my name you would find. So just turn there tonight, and we will, that's, yeah. Yeah, First Chronicles, that's four. First Chronicles 4. Hey, you did all right with the preacher that knew where it was at. First Chronicles chapter 4. First Chronicles chapter 4. We meet a fellow here by the name of Jabez. And it's one of those, you know, it's that one of those deserts of the Bible. You know, everybody talks about all the deserts in the Bible and you know, how you got to wade through them and all this other stuff. And it's all those names, you know. But it picks up in verse 9 and it says this. And let's pick up verse 8. And Koz begat Anub and Zobeba. Boy, if you want to name your kid with Bible names, don't do this to him. All right? And the family of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And then it goes on. Let's bow our heads, join our hearts in prayer. Father, I thank you now for your grace, your goodness, your book, your Holy Spirit. Now, God, I ask your Holy Spirit be in this service. I ask, God, that you let your will be done. I am glad you've got the power that you've got, Father. I am glad that you've got the power that you've got. So, Lord, you just be with us tonight, and you speak to the hearts of your people in the way that you would. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I'll talk to you about the secret of Jabez's blessing, or the amazing thing about his blessing. And there are several things about this blessing you need to get some attention, because we're all looking for a blessing. I did never meet a Christian who wasn't looking for a blessing. Always trying to get God to do something for them, or if they can't get God, they'll get man to and blame God for it. You know, that is, preachers do that. Evangelists do that. You know, they come in and your wife plays a violin, and I've found a lot of Christians that play violins, never touched one. And the way you do that is you get up and you sing a song about how rough things are and how bad things are and what you need and exact shoe size and you know, when you need it by. And then when it comes through, you just say, God did that. And we have a tendency to desire to be blessed. We really do. But that's not the kind of blessing that we want. We'd really like to have a blessing from God. If you're honest and serious, you'd like to see God do something in your life. And so we'll talk to you about, there's something about this blessing. It's rather unique. There's nothing found in Scripture just like this. And if we look at this blessing and study it, maybe you'll learn how to get one for yourself. First thing I want you to notice about this blessing is the most amazing thing, or an amazing thing about Jabez's blessing is where we find it. We don't find this in the book of Psalms. Now, you've gone to Psalms for a blessing. And you may have gone to Isaiah for some promises, and Romans for some promises, and First Corinthians for some promises. But I don't know of anybody that says, you know, my promise is based somewhere back in First Chronicles. The first thing I want you to notice, people, is the unusual place that we find Jabez's blessing. You know where this is? This is one of those deserts of the Bible. It's one of the books that nobody reads. You know, it's one of those, it's inspired by God, but he didn't do a very good job type book, you know. We all believe, now, look, let me ask you this. Do you all believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God? Let me see your hand. All right, now watch this. Put them back down. How many of you don't read Chronicles? Well, you coward. Bless one honest person. Don't tell me the rest of you reading Chronicles. I don't believe you for a minute. All right. You know what it is? We think that God inspired something. He just inspired it for us to keep and not read. That's what we believe. So when you come to Chronicles, you know, there's a desert there. And it says, hey, look, man, I've been out west. There's a desert out there between us and California. But when you get to California, it's worth it. What I'm saying is this. If it is a desert, and if it is a dry part in the Bible, isn't it God's desert? Don't you think you ought to spend a little time? All you want to hang around the well. Isn't that true? You know, kind of just hang around the well and sip from the water of life, you know. And you know, we just want to get up onto a mountain peak, and we just want to have fellowship and have a shouting good time. And God says, okay, but I made a desert too. And you said, yes, you did. Okay, why don't you try that? Oh, that's right. I'm happy right here. You know, I have my three verses that I claim for life. Listen, people, you got to realize there are going to be times in your life when you're going to have to be someplace where it's dry. Ever been in a dry place? Don't you realize that this entire book is laid out just like your life? And that there are some dry areas in this book. And do you know why? Because there are some dry areas in your life. I'll tell you something else. Look, you know when you're on a train, you go down this train and you run into fog. All right? Now, if you're driving a car, you might want to stop and pull over, put on your emergency flashers, park the car and run over the hill and wait for somebody to crash it. I don't know what you're going to do. But let's face it. If you're on a train and the tracks are in front of you and there's a fog, well, the tracks are still out there in the fog, aren't they? So you keep on going. But you know what some Christians do? We all stop the train to get off, try to push the fog away from the train. We do the same thing about a desert. You know, you stop in the desert, wait for it to, green up, I guess. I don't know. But the fact is this, folks, if you just keep on going, you know what you do? You get through the desert. And if you keep on reading your Bible, you read from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to hit 1 Chronicles, and you're going to hit 2 Chronicles. And I've heard people say, Chronicles is nothing but those begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so. That's not true. The first 9 chapters of this book that we're looking at are just like that. And starting with chapter 10, it starts as a narrative. It's just like any other book in the Bible. But nobody knew that. You know why? Because they don't read it. You know why? Because it's a desert. That's why. And so what happens is we tend to not look for a blessing in an unusual place. This is an unusual place for a blessing, and he found one here. You can find a blessing in an unusual place. Preachers tend to do that about bookstores. We go, kicking over dusty bookstores trying to find books. I found a few rare books that way and some books that I wanted, but we have a tendency to ignore a place that doesn't look like you'd look for it. I guess about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, my wife and I had a meeting down in Connecticut. Yes, all right. Down in Connecticut. And we finished that meeting up on Sunday, and the next Sunday I was supposed to start a meeting in Sedgwick, Maine. Now, Sedgwick, Maine is over by Bar Harbor. It's over on the coast. It's beautiful little fishing villages, it's just like what you think of Maine, all right? But I have a friend of mine who pastors in Sherman Mills, Maine, and so I told my wife, now Sherman Mills, Maine is way up north in Maine. Sherman Mills, Maine is just about 5 miles from the edge of the world, okay? And this place, look, they pump in the sunshine to this place. I mean, he has people in church that don't have indoor water. I'm not talking about indoor bathrooms, I'm talking about water, period. They go out to a pond, or they go out to a pump out in the pasture and pump up 5 gallons of water and carry it to the house. That's where Sherman Mills, Maine, that's what Sherman Mills, Maine is like. And I told my wife, I said, no one passes through there unless they're, on their way to oblivion. And so I told my wife, I said, well, let's just go up and see him. I said, we'll just go see him. I said, I've got, from Monday to Sunday. And I said, we'll just go up there, maybe preach Wednesday night if he'd like at it. And just try to fellowship with him and encourage him. And I was going up there. One fellow was telling me, I was telling about Sherman Mills. He says, man, he says, how does anybody get called to Sherman Mills, Maine? I said, the first thing is you get God real mad. That's what it is. That's God Siberia. And so we went to Sherman Mills, Maine, and we're just going to try to be a blessing to this fellow. And you'll never believe what happened to us while we were in Sherman Mills, Maine. That pastor gave us a 32-foot trailer. I mean a 20,000 dollar 32-foot trailer to live in. Now, I got news for you, man. When we went to Sherman Mills, Maine, we went there and bought them groceries. They were having a hard time. He only had about 18 people in his church, and we didn't tell them. We just went off to the grocery store and bought them a couple of bags of groceries and things like that and brought it into them. And here we were. We were trying to be a blessing to them, and in one of the most unlikely places I'd have ever thought, we found a blessing. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that you can find a blessing in an unusual place. You'd be surprised where you find a blessing. There may be people, I hate to tell you this, but there may be people who have never heard of Auburn, New Hampshire. I pastored a church in Auburn, New York. People have heard of Auburn, New York. Not yours. They heard of mine. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, there ain't no telling where you are that you think no one knows about you and nobody's ever heard about you. And I know that all the last time I was here, the politicians were pulling in. I see the president's coming. He's going to try to make it for the meeting. But he was here last time I got here. He pulled in over here. All of them was over there. Whenever I show up, they just come right into New Hampshire. But the fact is this. You may find a blessing in an unusual place. My son John, who's little, had one of those big wheels, great big plastic wheel that you lay back and pedal on. And being a boy, he used the brakes and burnt a hole through the tire. So he would pedal that thing, you know, and go plop, plop, plop. You know, had a flat spot. Kind of the tire was shaped like a D, you know. And so you just can't find those things. You don't sell new tires for those, and I'm too cheap to throw the thing out. So you know what I did? I know this is crazy, but I said, God, how about finding me a tire, a wheel, for my kid's Hot Wheel? And to add something to it, I think he parked it somewhere, and I drove over top of it and smashed one of the back wheels. So now we're down to two good wheels, or one good wheel out of three, and I'm just about to throw the thing away, but I thought, you know, I just may find a wheel. I asked God for it. And one night, me and one of the men from my church were driving along. It's visitation night, you know. We're driving along, and I said, stop! Now, you ought not to do that to somebody that's driving, but he stopped. And, and he's looking around me. He thought I saw, so there wasn't nobody on the street. And I said, turn around. So he turned around, he pulled, I said, pull up here. And the only thing that was there was a pile of garbage. And he's looking at me like, what? And I said, you open the trunk. And I jumped out, and here was all this garbage, you know, and garbage bags and garbage cans, you know, and all sort of stuff to be thrown out in cardboard boxes. And right on top of this was a big wheel. And I don't know what happened. They broke a handlebar, but I'll tell you, the wheels were good, man. They still said Goodyear on the side. I mean, you know what it looked like? You know, how do you feel, you know, if you're standing up for your pastor as he throws somebody's garbage into the trunk of your car and off you go into the night? I'll tell you what, I took it home. I took and put the front wheel on the front wheel of my kid's Hot Wheel, put both back wheels on the back wheel, and the kid, I think we still got around somewhere. I think we still got around. What I'm saying is this. You know, you want a blessing from God, but you know where it ought to be. Isn't that true? You know exactly where it ought to be. You know exactly how it ought to come. You know exactly what size it ought to be. You know exactly the color. And the fact is this, people, there may be a blessing for you somewhere, but it isn't what you think it is. Fact is, God may have something to encourage you, but what He's got to encourage you may be in the book of Chronicles. It may be in the book of Numbers. It may be in some nondescript passage of Scripture. Yeah? You get the letter from Steve Cooper, the missionary. Did you get the last one on where he's going in Spain? This guy, if I can find it, he got called to a city in Spain. If I'm not mistaken, it was Genesis 31:27. No, it wasn't. Genesis 31:37. No, it wasn't. You got to get his letter. He's got this thing from Genesis, and it's something about a knot and a branch and a knot and a branch and a knot and a branch with six branches going out thereof. That told him where to go in Spain. That's it, Exodus 31:27. And that's how he knows where he's going. Yeah, that's right, Exodus will be it. That's how he knows where he's going. He said, what do you mean? He said he read that verse and he said, you know what? He said, immediately I thought I ought to find a place which got six roads going into it. And he looked on the map of Spain, and there was a city had six roads going into it. And he said the Lord had been dealing with him about going to that city previously, but he didn't notice the roads. And he said, when I saw it in Seville, Spain, and when he saw that that was where the roads came in, all six roads came in, he said, that's where I'm going. You say, that's crazy. That's good for you. But it worked for him. What I'm saying is that you can find a blessing in an unusual place. That's what Jabez did. You would expect to find a blessing in Genesis with all the sons of Jacob, wouldn't you? You'd expect to find a blessing in one of the other books of the Bible. You wouldn't expect to find one in Chronicles. Now there's something else about this blessing that's unusual, and that is the crowd that this guy hung around with. The crowd he is associated with, you know, if you're looking at verses, the verses just before this passage and the verses just after and all those names, I looked up some of those names one time. First thing you need to know is, you notice that Jabez means causing pain. We should have named Luke that. That would have been a good name for Luke. Causing pain. I tell people, we got Luke because there's no purgatory. Every now and then I just say, what did we do? What did we do, you know? But the fact is this, the Bible says that he was associated with sorrow, right? That's what she said. So he was associated with sorrow because I bear him with sorrow. He is associated with sorrow, and she named him causing pain. Well, you don't start a kid out, you know, with a bad way. Give him a name like that, you know. Give him a name that, you know, hey, grief. That's right. But wait, look at the crowd that he is with. Up there in verse 8, cause, you know what cause means? Thorn. In verse 11, Shua means depression. In verse 11, Esten means womanly. Oh, he's hanging with that guy for. Up in verse 7, Hela means rust. In verse 12, Pashia means lame. In verse 12, Tahina means cry for mercy. And also in verse 12, Ur Nahash means Snake Town. Now, can you imagine this crowd coming over your house with your kid? You know, I'm going out, Mom.
With who?
Snake Town and Womanly and Rust. No kid of mine is going out with anybody named Womanly. No, you can forget that, buddy. I don't mind. I can live with some Rust, but you tell the Womanly cat that he can take a walk. I don't care how he walks, but he can take one. What I'm saying is, I mean, there, look, man, there is, look, you know what Michael means? Michael means he is like God. Well, what a name. What a name, Michael. What are you going to be stuck with? Jabez, causing pain. What are you going to be stuck with? Nahash, Snake Town. I mean, that was the crowd this guy hung around with. What I'm saying is this, people, you know, you can get a blessing no matter who you run with. Don't you ever notice that everybody else has already attained nirvana? You know, somebody else is, you know, they're always in. I don't know what your crowd was like before I got saved. My crowd was not the best crowd in the world, okay? And I won't tell you what their names were like, but they were not the nicest people in the world. And yes, if you were looking for a blessing, our crowd was that. You know, if you were looking for people like, Val Victorian, you'd have to worry about any of the guys I ran around with ever getting elected to be anything like that. You know, outstanding senior boy. The only thing that was outstanding about us was outstanding in the hall. There was nothing outstanding about us, okay? And I was voted kind of most likely to go to prison. I mean, that was about what I got. And the guys that I ran with, I mean, in fact, one time I was in the body shop in a vocational end. And I remember one time in American history, my teacher, she hated everybody from vocational. She hated it. You know, she thought that all we did was try to put square pegs and square holes around, try to do it, you know. And one time, you know, I really applied. So I'm going to really learn. So I was studying, I was doing all this stuff. And she asked a question in class, and I answered it. Now, I was so proud, you know, like she said, what day is it? And I knew. But it was some deep, you know, something really from America. No, I did. I answered it. And you know what she said? She said, that's about time somebody from that end of the school knew something. See, my association was bad. It was just bad. Some of the kids I ran with, man, listen, they spent a lot of time in the detention home or in the boys' industrial school. It was just bad. There were times when I was seen out after dark, man. I was going to be sent up for 2 years just for being out after dark. That was the crowd I ran with. What I'm saying is this. If you're looking for a blessing, there are places you just don't look. Isn't that true? I'm sure that Auburn, New Hampshire has a crowd that nobody's going to look for a blessing. I'm sure, you know, I was the black sheep of the family. My father had worked all his life to give the name Gip a decent meaning in town. Paid his bills, worked, 35 years at the steel mill. Never missed a payment, and I was just as honorable a man as I ever was. Now, I'd go out of the house, and they'd either get a call from the police department or from the jail or the hospital, because I was either going to get in a car wreck or a fight or get in jail from a party. What I'm saying is this. You know, you look out there, and you always read about somebody else's name, and you always hear about somebody else, and you always, even in Christianity, you know, you always hear about the biggies, you know, the big names, you know. How do you know who's a big name? We'll pick up the Sword of the Lord or something like that, you know, and they got pictures in there, and all doctors. You know, like one fellow said, you know, that some of the doctors think God was sick. I'm a doctor. My wife is a nurse. I've decided if I don't make an evangelism, we're going to open a hospital. But the fact is this, you always think that somebody else's crowd is going to make it. But wait a second. This guy got a blessing, didn't he? I mean, it's kind of unusual that somebody named Causing Pain would get a blessing, don't you think? It's kind of unusual that a guy out in the middle of a desert, right, with a name like Causing Pain that hangs around with guys like Snake Town and Rust and Lame and Womanly and Thorn, it's kind of unusual that that kind of a guy would end up getting a blessing. But he got one, didn't he? You know, if God could give somebody that does not stand out, and if God could give somebody, you know, I was telling my wife, we were in a meeting and this guy got up to preach, and man, there are some guys when they get to preach, I don't envy him. I just have to look back, I have to admire him. I mean, there are some guys that just look like a preacher. I don't look like a preacher. I don't know what I look like, but I know I don't look like a preacher. Right? A lot of us don't look like a preacher. At least I preach like one. Anyway, but this guy, man, look. I mean, there wasn't a hair out of place. Him and I were preaching this conference, and his name, I mean, his picture's been in the source. See, my name. Let's say I wanted a poster. But and he just has a manner about him, you know. He has a movement, a smoothness to him. I think the guy, you know, he's held together with rubber bands. Really moves so good. And he opens his Bible and he says,
Now, let's... And when he opened, when he begins to talk, you knew that this guy was called to preach, and the first time he said, duh, duh. I mean, this kid, man, when he was a year old, he just once said, he didn't try and say, Dad, oh, Father. Now, you talk a long time, so, well, I'm not going to talk like a child. But just a way, you know, he's one of those radio voices, man, it comes from his toes, and I told him, I said, man, I said, the guy, and he doesn't have a pot belly. Either. And I look at this guy and I said, you know what? I said, this guy, and he's got hair on top of his head, and I said, this guy just looks like a preacher. Man, he opened up the Bible. I'm telling you, man, he gave us, I mean, it was a tremendous message. It really was. And, you know, you see that kind of person, you think, boy, they always get that. You know, some you ladies, you know, you see somebody else, and she never needs a permanent. Right? Is your hair naturally that way? It is. I hate you. Right? You see women that could eat a dozen donuts three times a day, and they weigh 109 pounds when they're fat. That's the truth. And you just go, oh man, if anybody's getting a blessing, they will. Isn't that true? And some of you guys, I mean, look, man, you're looking at my little league career when I was a kid amounted to me hitting the ball only one time and it rolled to the pitcher. The only way I could shoot a basket would be with a gun. Yeah, John's got one of the little things under this high. I've been having a hard time with it. I've got a couple. But you know, but if I get more than a foot away from it, I have trouble. But the thing is this, you know, and you look and you say, oh man, you know, I watch guys, I never learned to play basketball. I never learned to play nothing, man. I mean, all I was doing was taking hubcaps, but I left them on the car. That was the problem. I never learned nothing. The only thing I was in was track. And what I mean was that I did a lot of running. Mostly across backyards and alleys. We used to, if we wanted to get home early, we just went into one particular neighborhood and called everybody the names that they were best known for. But I guarantee you, that gets you home, that inspires you to run. You ain't never seen anybody run like Sam when he's scared, okay? I was running one time, this guy, man, he was right on me. And what we were doing is we were just knocking on his door about three or four times a night. But so we decided to hit a frontal and a rear echelon attack. So my friend took the front door and I took the back. He was in the back. And it was night, and I'm telling you, I mean, this guy is right behind me, and I'm making as fast as I can, and I'm right about here when I see a fence right about there. Ain't no stopping now, pal. And the guy, whoever it was just putting the fence up because the roll was only about 6 feet or 7 feet away from me. There wasn't no way I was turning either. And I hit that fence. I took about three of them metal posts over with me. I never quit. I never missed a lick, man. You say, why? Because Sam can run when he's scared. That's why. So what I'm saying is, but when it comes to sports, you know, I mean, I didn't know nothing about plays. I don't know nothing about baseball and football. I know to get on the line and hit somebody about football. That's all I know. And my side of town was the southwest end of town, you know. West side, the best side, you know, east side, the least side, that kind of thing. But you know where I was? Three blocks from the steel mills. And it was about one block away from Columbia Heights, and Columbia Heights where Al Capone used to come down and hide when they were looking for him in Chicago. That's true. And if anybody's going to make it, nobody's going to make it from that end of town. Listen, I came from the wrong end of town. I came from the wrong end of the school. When I went to college, I went to the wrong school. I picked up the wrong Bible. I'm going to tell you something, people. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you it seems like every step of my life, I've always picked the group that is most least likely to succeed. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you say, well, you know, that's how my life's been. You know, it was my brother that was my parents' favorite. They bought him everything new, and I got to keep the boxes that came in. You know, maybe I'm talking to somebody, you know, that somebody in your family can sing like a bird and you can sing like a squeaky gate. You know, so maybe that's what you're like. Maybe you don't have any ability. Maybe like one. I can't play anything. My wife plays the piano. She plays French horn. Plays the autoharp. I can play the radio. And at that, sometimes I have trouble. And you say, boy, you know, I just don't have anything to offer, and I just don't have anything. Yeah, but this guy's name was causing pain. And he ran around with a guy named Depression. I was like, hey, maybe these guys are a boss. How's it doing, Depression? Oh, fine, Thorn. Shut up, womanly. I mean, this crowd is obviously the crowd that is going to go nowhere, right?
Wrong. God paid some attention to that fella. Where did he pay attention to him? He paid attention to him in a book that most of you don't read, with a name that none of us would want. Isn't that true? What I'm saying is, you sit there at night, you say, well, my friends are a bunch of losers. Good for you, so were his. In fact, that's what his friends said about him. They said, he's just one of us losers. That's what he said. And then there's something else about that is unusual about Jabez's blessing, and that is the method with which he got it. It's a rather amazing method. You know, today we are preoccupied with methods of success, aren't we?
Yeah.
We are. Just, you know, this method of success, and, you know, buy my book. These guys love you so much that they're going to tell you the secret of success. The secret of success is write a book on the secret of success, sell it whatever you want. You know the little thing about, you know, I make $2 million in a month, and you can make it by doing what I'm doing. Send me $20. Send me $20, I'll tell you how I made it. So you send him $20, and he says, I wrote out an article that said I made $2 million a month, and he just tells you to do what he's doing. That's what some of those guys all do, you know. Send away for a guaranteed fly killer, works 100 out of 100, and they send you two pieces of 2x4 that has a circle that says put fly here, and flap! You pay $20 for it. What I'm saying is this. All these methods of success, you know, and how to feel good about yourself, and how to have a dynamic existence in the 20th century, all this other junk. Look at how this guy got blessed in verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Hey, look, there's a person in here doesn't pray that prayer. You have prayed everything he prayed in some form or another. What does it say? That thou wouldst bless me, that you would enlarge me, that you would that thy hand might be with me, that you bless what I do, and that you would keep evil from me. Now, isn't that true? There isn't a person here doesn't pray that prayer in some form. And look what it says. And God granted him that which he requested. So what did this guy do to get his blessing? He asked for it. He asked for it. He said, oh, you mean that's all? Have you tried? You say, well, I've been praying for $1 million, but yeah, I know that. Everybody's praying for $1 million because you don't tithe it. Tell you what, man, if you ain't honest with God now, don't think he'd trust you with $1 million. Right. Every Christian I know, they're out there saying, oh, I want to take the missionary, God. Get those $1 million. I'll send it to him 20 at a time. You know what? I used to pray for $1 million. I really did. Say, why? Because I was going to give it, you know, tithe it and give it to the missionaries, all those stuff. I really was. And God just kept ignoring me, wouldn't give me the mail. So I said, I tell you what, I said, you're not listening. So I said, I'll tell you what, yeah, I still look for bags, you know. I look for bags along the road from a busted dope dealer. You know, I find some of his laundry. But anyway, so I said, I'll tell you what you do, God. I said, since there's, you know, I don't, maybe you think you can't trust me with $1 million. I'll tell you what you do, give me $10,000. And I said, check me out, see how I handle $10,000. If I handle the $10,000 right, then you can trust me with $1 million, okay? That's a fair shake, right? So I said, give me $10,000. He gave me $10,000. So how'd it go? Well, he's never given me $1 million. And I've had no sense to quit praying for it. What I'm saying to you is that some of you, God give you $1 million, I'll tell you something, pal, you wouldn't be in this church not another week. Amen. You wouldn't be in this church. Amen. And this man didn't ask something, as James says back here in James chapter 4, to consume it upon his lust. He didn't ask anything like that. But his prayer was just a legitimate prayer that every Christian I know of would like to have answered in their life. But he got it answered. He got his blessing by simply asking. What I'm saying is this. We expect to have to do something to get our prayers answered. Good works. We think that good works, I believe every Christian ought to have good works. I believe, according to Titus, I think we ought to have a good life. I think that we ought to. I tell people this. The Ten Commandments can't get you to heaven, but it's still a good rule to live by. The golden rule won't get you to heaven. It's a good rule to live by after you're saved. Both those are very good things to do after you're saved. If you're going to do them to get to heaven, you're going to go to hell. If you're going to try to live the Ten Commandments, you're going to go to hell. If you're going to try to keep the golden rule, you're going to go to hell. There's no way around that. But after you're saved, look, there's nothing wrong with doing unto others and then getting out of town before they can do it. No, that's not right. That's right. We got to live in a trailer. I'm used to it. Anyway.
Do unto others as you'd have others do it. There's nothing wrong with that. And so you know what? You see somebody good, you know what happens? You see somebody bad, get a blessing, you say. What I want to know is, how come so-and-so named Michael, who is like unto God, how come he didn't get a blessing, but some guy named Causing Pain got one? Oh, I just don't understand. I mean, he hangs around with a guy named Woman. Right? What I'm saying is, this guy, it wasn't a matter of good works. Money. Say what you want and knock all the rich folks you want. But we just think that they ought to have something a little better than us. And if you know somebody with bucks, like, you'd expect them to have a blessing, you know? You'd expect something to happen in their life that would be good. Isn't that true? You expect somebody with money or good works or friends, you know, got connections. You have a connection? I don't have anybody. I don't know anybody with connections. I mean, you know, I can't find a phone that works along other kind of connections. And, you know, you've got something, and they say, well, he's so-and-so's brother-in-law to so-and-so's uncle, and he does this and does that. I mean, I've talked to some people that have connections. You say, man, all the stuff that where I knew a guy... But did you ever stop and realize that that's how you operate with a God of grace? You know that van out there costs $30,000. I'm paying it. So I'm paying it. I tell people, man, I didn't even have enough money to get in trouble. Most dangerous thing in the world is a Baptist preacher with $1,000. You give a Baptist preacher $1,000, he'd get you $25,000-$30,000 in the hole. I didn't even have enough to get in the hole. I didn't have enough money to get in trouble. And God provided that van. So you know what around I got? Somebody say, yeah. Man, how'd you get that van? Well, God ain't going to give you a van, pal. You don't need it. I mean, we had a trailer, no van to pull it with. And we used that van. I just turned 25,000 miles. Had it 6 months. I just turned 25,000 miles. I changed my oil every 3,000 miles. I changed it 3 times in January. We needed the van for the job we do. And I had one preacher, he said, now, what was the name of the guy that got this van for you? I said, oh, you wouldn't know him. I'll spell it for you. G-O-D. What I'm saying is this. God is not going to, he's not going to bless a request for new toys.
Amen. Amen.
And he's not going to bless when you just got bored with the old curtains and you'd like new curtains. He's not going to bless when, you know, you've had to wear this dress 3 times now in the same year, so you really need something new. No, he's not going to. That's not the kind of blessing we're talking about. I'm not talking about a blessing that would consume upon your lust. You know, that trailer I got, it didn't have any hubcaps. It don't need hubcaps. But it didn't have any hubcaps. But I kind of wanted hubcaps, if nothing else. Quit staring at the ugly black rims and keep some of the mud and muck off of them, you know. And so, you know, now I'm cheap. Man, I'm cheap, buddy. I squeak when I walk. And, you know, you go to Kmart, you can buy 4 hubcaps for $20. So I said, I'll just go to Kmart and throw $20 down and get me 4 hubcaps. Right about the time I decided I was going to do that, they jumped it to 2 hubcaps for $20. I ain't paying $40 for no hubcaps. I'm too cheap, but I ain't putting 4 hubcaps on that trailer for $40.
So I figured, look, man, I travel all the time. I'm in all these different stores, you know, and Walmarts and Big Wheels and all these, you know, I mean, talking my class and all the you know, the Baptist class. And so I figured I got to find one of these places. In 6 months, a year, I've got to find one of these places that has 4 hubcaps for $20. So I looked and I looked and I just kind of casually looked. And finally, I was in a store and I looked in here, man, it was all 2 for $19.95. You know, 2 for $20, 2 for $20. And I just got upset. I said, you know something, God? I said, I haven't prayed about it. Well, you don't pray about hubcaps, right? Well, you have some important things to pray about. Hubcaps ain't it. You know, like eating, you know, clothes. You'll pray for hubcaps. So I told the Lord this. I said, Lord, I said, look. I said, I have looked where I could for a set of hubcaps. And I said, I ain't found them. I said, now, I don't care if that trailer ever gets hubcaps. I said, I tell you what. I said, if you want to have hubcaps, you put them on it. I said, I'm not even going to go past one of those places, you know, where you got all the hubcaps in the front yard, you know. I said, I ain't going to go past one of them. I'm not looking for hubcaps for this trailer again. I said, you want hubcaps on it, put them on. I wasn't mad at him. I was mad at the store. And so I said, no, him about it. And I said, you put them on it if you want them. I said, I ain't going to put a hubcap on it. And I said, I'm not going to pursue it. And I left that meeting and went to another meeting. And at that the very next meeting, the pastor and I were walking across the church parking lot to my trailer, and he looks over and he says, you don't have your hubcaps on your trailer. This wise man. Perceptive. And I said, yeah, I said, I'll have it. He said, well, come with me. And we got in his car, and we went to one of them places where they got them all laying out on the front yard, and he said, pick 4. So I decided I'd get 4 that all look the same. And I grabbed me 4 hubcaps. He paid the lady $20, and I got my hubcaps. So how'd you get them? Ask for them. So you didn't need it, that's right. But ask for them. What I'm saying is this, people, you would be surprised what God will do if you just ask Him. Now, get a couple of things straight. He's not a sideshow. He's not going to jump through a hoop for you, okay? It's not this, you know, do this and do that. Hey, look, man, Jesus Christ stood in front of Herod and wouldn't even speak to him. Because Herod wanted, you know, here's some water, turn into wine. You know, he wanted to see some miracles. And if you're going to go, you're going to approach God with that kind of attitude, pal, you're not going to see nothing work. And the second thing is, don't, you know, you probably already have enough junk. I highly doubt anybody here is lacking on junk. I know, listen, we Americans, we put everything we got, and we just get more junk and more junk, and it always ends up in our attic, our basement, our garage. Isn't that true? You know how much junk Americans have? We've got so much junk that now we only have room in the attic and the basement and the garage for it anymore, so we have to go out and rent a used storage, your junk place here. Isn't that true? They're all over the country. For what? For Americans. Yeah, what I'm saying is, many people don't need a blessing because George Washington can do a fine job for them. Many times you want a blessing because it's too cheap to spend a buck. Spend a buck. Get your blessing if that's what you're going to do. But when it comes to doing something for God, you'd be amazed what God will take care of. Now what I'm saying is this. This fellow here got a blessing in the most unusual place. A place called Chronicles. He was the most unusual man. His name means causing pain. He's associated with sorrow. Ran around with people named Depression and Rust, Snake Town and Thorn. Womanly. I mean, look, man, we wouldn't want that crowd around. They're just the kind that when they walk in, you look at them and say, well, we're glad they're in our church. I sure hope they don't sit next to me. Right? And how did he get his blessing? He got it by asking. That's all he did. He just said, oh, would you bless me? You believe the things I've asked God for. One time, when I was pastoring in New York, I needed 3 wooden crates. Fruit crates. Well, I'll order you before you buy 3 wooden crates. So I said, Lord, you know, I'd sure like 3 wooden crates. I said, you think you'd get me 3 wooden crates? Find me some somewhere, you know, I'll buy them. I pulled out of my church one day. It's the truth. I pulled out of my church one day, turned left, go into town, and there, laying in the middle of the lane, there wasn't car one on that street except mine, there laying in the middle of the lane in front of me were 3 crates. 3 wooden fruit crates. You say, oh, they must fell off the back of the truck. No, I think somebody kicked them off, and I don't know who it was. You say, I think it's a coincidence. Yeah, it might have been a coincidence, but I don't think God will mind if I give him credit for it. One time I won the cheater bar. You know what cheater bar is? You guys at work, you know what that is. That's what you put over your Craftsman ratchet to snap it and then take it back to hold it. It's a piece of pipe that's put over a breaker bar to add the torque that you don't have naturally. And I want a cheater bar, and I have one. I said, boy, God, I'd like a cheater bar. I'm driving down the road one day. There it was. Listen, this was a piece of an old fence post, even had a round top, so I couldn't hurt myself on the rough end of the pipe. One time I wanted I needed an 18-inch piece of exhaust pipe. I imagine I could have gone down to the exhaust place and got one, you know, about cheap. And I knew if I found one that was rusted off a car, it would be rotted. I pulled on the church lot one time. You know what was laying out there? There was laying an 18-inch piece of exhaust pipe that was rusted at one end where it broke off, and it was like brand new. Now it's good to ask for it. There used to be a little four-wheel drive truck, a little four-wheel drive, a 72 Ford three-quarter ton with a 360 and a four-speed. Here's what I did. I wanted a truck to plow the lot at my church. And I said, God, I'd like a truck to plow the lot at my church. I said, I want a full-length bed. I said, like an 8-foot bed. I said, I want a four-speed. I don't want to plow with an automatic. And I said, I'd like a three-quarter ton, because I said, the truck I have now is a three-quarter ton, but it's two-wheel drive. And I said, I like a three-quarter ton truck because I like to haul about 2 tons on it. And I said, I'd like a V8. I'll settle for a 6-cylinder, but I'd like a V8. And lo and behold, I'm driving along, and here, a guy had this truck for sale. Now, this thing was junk. I mean, the headlights didn't work. You could shoot it with a shotgun. There wasn't enough metal left on to hit anything. You know, that kind of truck it was. And this guy won $1,000. This ain't the face of a fool. And there ain't no way I was gonna pay this kid $1,000 for this truck. And so, but I drive by that truck every day. I had to drive by it every day on the way to church. And it didn't even have a plow. I'd drive past that thing and I'd say, God, you know, I need a truck. But I knew it wasn't that. Finally, one day I drove by it and I said this. I said, God, I'd give that guy $500 if he'd take it today. I said, if he'd take $500, I'd buy that thing today. Well, I'm stopping. I just said that. And I went to my office and I'm sitting in the office and the phone rang and it's this kid. He said, preacher, are you still interested in that truck? I said, yeah. He said, well, I got a guy to give me $200. Well, you give me, I said, $300. I said, well, I said I'd go up to 500, folks. I ain't stupid, man. And so I gave him $300. Now I had two problems. I didn't have a blade, and I didn't have tires. So I said, God, I'll tell you what. I said, I need a blade. I said, the kind of blade I need. I said, I got a bad back, and I said, I have plowed snow before, and I'm not getting out and pulling them pins and changing this blade. Forget that stuff. I said, I want a power tilt. I want a 7-foot wide blade. He said, oh, man, you're picky. Well, if you're praying, man, you may have to put the order in. There was only one truck in the state of New York that was uglier than my truck. It was owned by a man in my church. He's an old farmer. It was a 76 GMC truck. This thing, now you know how bad this truck was. This truck smoked so bad. How bad did it smoke? That he had a guy following him one time, and his truck quit running. And the guy rear-ended him in the cloud. That's the truth. This guy's driving along, man. I mean, he said, as soon as my truck quit running, I knew what was going to happen. He said, I jumped out and started running back. Before I could, the guy just went, boom, right in the back end of that truck. And he walked in one day and said, preacher, you still looking for a power tilt Fisher blade? I said, yeah. He said, he had one on the front of his GMC. And I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, my truck, you know, I mean, I had just been promoted to the ugliest truck in the state of New York. His was now deceased. He said, you go take that blade off and you can have it. That's about a $1,500 blade. But you'll have problems. See, that there's a frame that they mount to, and a GMC wouldn't bolt up to a Ford. I said, well, I'll have to find some frames. And he said, no problem. He said, when I got that blade, he said, it came off a 72 Ford. And he said, I got the frames at home. And he said, I'll bring them by and give them to you. So now I had a problem. I had a truck and I had a blade and I had four donuts on it. I mean, they just as smooth. I mean, you could, look, I don't think, four-wheel drive just means four tires spin in the snow instead of two if you don't have tires on. And so I'm talking, and here I'm fretting. I mean, this truck was so rotten, it took me and another guy 2 days to build up the front end to put the blade on.
And we headed out this garage, and the second night, I'm driving out there. The other guy was going to be meeting me out there, and I'm driving out there in the car, and I said, God, you gave me the truck, and you gave me the blade. I said, man, but I said, I need tires. I said, I don't have any money for tires. He said, I gave you the truck, didn't he? I said, yeah. He said, I gave you the blade, didn't he? I said, yeah. He said, what's harder to get, a blade or tires? I said, you're going to give me four tires for my truck. I mean, I'll tell you what, when the doors filled up that car, I'm driving down the road just shouting. I already knew God was going to give me four tires for my truck. I got out of the car. I was singing. I went in there and said, whoa, guess what? He's laying under this thing being bugged to death and crushed. He said, what? I said, God's going to give me four tires for this truck. He said, how'd you know? I said, he just told me in my car. That'd be having him glow at the foot of my bed, you know. You know, a week later, man came to the door, the parsonage, knocked the door, handed me a check, and said, you need four tires for that truck, there's the check, just call me and tell me how much it was. That's all. Now I got that van. We got it, given us the trailer, and I knew before the summer was over, before last September, God would give us a van. You say, why did you think he's going to give you a van? Because there's no other way to get one. I quit stealing, you know. And I had enough money to get in trouble. So I knew he was going to give me a van. Say, what kind of van do you think he's going to give you? I thought he was going to give me a brand new Ford with a 460, with a high top, a one ton, with a long back end. That's what I thought he was going to give me. See, what I thought he was going to do is just have me order it. So last February, about the 2nd, I had me a little crisis. My wife called from Ohio and told me, I was up in Rochester, New York, and my wife called me and told me. And it was an opportunity, but the opportunity meant to get out of evangelism. And I said, man, what an opportunity. But I think God must be an evangelist. My dear wife, bless her heart, said, well, I know a good fleece. So I had to preach 28 at a church, and I had to have an answer before then, 28 February. She said, I said, what fleece? She said, well, we could ask God to give us the van in the next 4 weeks. We're a woman of faith. I said, boy, we're getting out of evangelism for sure now. So I went, my wife in Ohio, myself in New York, and no one knew. Nobody else knew. I mean, nobody. I didn't pass the church where I was at, people I was staying, nobody knew nothing. The people I got on my face, literally on my face. And I prayed, and I got off my face at 2:30 in the morning. My prayer was, God, if you want me in evangelism, I need the van by the 28th of this month. I was going to give you 4 months, but I got to have it in 4 weeks. And I said, now, if you want me in evangelism, I said, I need that van in 4 weeks. And I got off my face. It was a Wednesday morning at 2:30 a.m. And about 10 o'clock, 10:30, the pastor came by, and he picked me up, and we went over to the church. And when we got to the church, the man was sitting there waiting to buy the van. And who got in touch with it? God. I said, so what'd you get? I got me a brand new 1988 Ford with a 460, with a high top, one ton, extended back in. It's got an office in the back. I have an office built in the back of it because I don't have a place to write. We have a trailer. We don't have an office. So I put an office in the back end of it. And I sit back in the back of the van when we're parked somewhere and I do my writing and my books. You know how I got it? By asking for it. You know who I am? I'm a nobody. Just like Causing Pain and Snake Town and Rust. I ain't nothing like Woman Lake. And I ain't gonna be like him. You know where I'm from? I'm from the wrong end of town, from the wrong end of the school, from the wrong end of the family tree. I went to the wrong college and I carried the wrong Bible. But you'd be surprised what God will do in the most unusual place, with the most unusual person, in the most unusual way. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, well, God doesn't do those kind of things here in Auburn, New Hampshire. Doesn't he? You mean you've never heard of it happening in Auburn, New Hampshire? If you haven't, then maybe you're right in the middle of 1 Chronicles. So, well, God never does those kind of things for me, you know, not. Doesn't he? Then maybe you're right in the right, maybe you just are the right person. You say, well, I've tried everything here, just try asking. Now, don't go try to get God jumped through no hoop. But you'd be amazed what God will do if your heart's right with God. If your heart is right with God. Why don't you stand with your heads bowed?